welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Andrea Garrison, who is the author of The Crossing Over of Maddie Pearl. I first met Andrea when I was on her radio show talking about my book, The Naked Truth About Breast Implants, and I believe also The Goddess Shift at one point. And I'm very pleased to have her back on my show so that we can continue our conversation about spirituality and what I guess the topic that everybody is very interested in, what really happens when we cross over? What happens when we leave this world and enter the next world? Andrea is a video producer, an entrepreneur, a communications consultant, and a public speaker. And she has been searching, as I have probably most of her life, for answers to why we're here and what we can do to help others. Welcome, Andrea.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to connect with you. We're always connecting on the radio. We need to connect in person,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do. So where, yeah. Where are you calling in from today?
Well, today, I'm actually calling from the East Coast.
Okay.
Northeast.
Northeast. Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm calling, the Northeast, and it's bright and sunny.
No hurricane
Irene is long gone. Last weekend, we might not have been able to do this because phones were out and power and all.
Well, I trust you've got everything working now and are a little better prepared for hurricanes. I'm not sure the Northeast gets hit that often with a hurricane. I know the Southeast does, but the Northeast is kind of unusual.
Yeah, it is kind of unusual, but, you know, weather is changing like everything else now.
It sure is.
We can't predict anymore. And in that 1 week, we also had the earthquake on the East Coast, remember?
Right.
Yeah, the earthquake and the hurricane.
Well, this is the time of earth changes. Many prophets from many different religions and disciplines have predicted this time. And, in fact, I'm going to have on my show one of the experts who has maps on what the new Earth will look like, or the new, especially the new United States will look like after the Earth.
Oh, I'd love to see that map.
It's very interesting. But I guess Edgar Cayce had a lot of the early information about these Earth changes, but they've actually been predicted through Hopi prophecies, Jewish prophecies, Christian prophecies, and all major religions have chimed in. Their prophets have chimed in on this time. So something's up. You gotta admit that.
Everything is changing, and there's change is always constant anyway. And a lot of times people are afraid of change, but it's really part of the whole process of.
As the Course in Miracles said, there's probably only two emotions: love and fear. And I think in this time, you're going to have to choose between those two as your dominant emotion. I think that's really what it comes down to.
Well, I go with the love.
There you go. There you go. We all have inner guidance, and that's what you and your show and my show are about, I think, tuning into your inner guidance, tuning into the information within. You know, if you turn on the news and listen to that, you're going to go down to a different path than if you listen within.
Right, for sure. In fact, sometimes, I like to stay up and have a general picture of what's going on, but sometimes I'm so swamped with my own work, like, you know, working on the shows and things, I don't follow the day-to-day news.
Sometimes
I think it's better that way.
I kind of tune in when I'm guided to tune in, and there's always a reason, but it's not every night. It's probably once every week, once every 2 weeks, you know, depending on what's going on.
Right.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your show so we can...
My show is called Online with Andrea, and it's very eclectic. I do everything, spiritual topics. I feature musicians, poets, authors who write all kinds of books. I read the books. I truly read the books, everybody. That's why I have three boxes of books waiting. Some people get annoyed with me because it takes me so long, and then I pop up and call them and say, I've read it, finally.
Right.
But, yeah, and I do everything. Children's books, which I love, mm-hmm. because children's books are quick reads, but also they have wonderful messages. So I do children's books, and mm-hmm. I'll do kind of esoteric topics, and then I'll do self-help, and I do different religious philosophies. You know, if people send me a book on Buddhism, I'll read it, and we'll do mm-hmm. a show on Buddhism. I'm really kind of open. You know, I'm a very open person spiritually, mm-hmm. So that's basically how I do my show.
Yeah, I think we both have shows where we read books that interest us. So.
Yeah, but I actually have read books that don't really interest me,
well,
which
good.
Is, yeah, and what I find is by doing that, it opens me up. It opens up my heart, my mind. It opens me up spiritually because I kind of think, well, at least in terms of doing my show, I like to go outside the box, and that includes outside of my own box.
Right.
And since I'm trying to be really, truly alternative in what I do, that's what I try to do in my show. Now, if someone approaches me with a show idea and I just don't feel that I, for whatever reason, whether it's spiritually or for some reason, I just don't get it,
mm-hmm.
then I can't do it, obviously.
Right.
But if I can find a way to do it, then I'll just cover it, because to me it's about presenting different ideas and opinions and not being judgmental, which is kind of interesting to kind of step out of it and try to keep yourself out of it. It's a very interesting experience. So it's helped me to grow a lot spiritually by doing that, because I really become open to hearing what people have to say, and whether I agree with them or not, you know, I certainly end up respecting the work or
right.
the energy that they put into what they do. And everyone who writes a book or creates a song, you know, there's a lot of work and thought and mm-hmm. effort that goes into it. So I've grown to appreciate a lot more because I've been trying to listen more and embrace more and still staying true to my own values.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
just, it's quite interesting. It's a very interesting experience. And ironically, I started doing my show initially to promote my book. I wasn't really that into doing it, but I was being interviewed, and people were interviewing me and not even asking for the book or anything. So I thought, and then a couple of people said, you should do a show yourself, and then at the end of the show, you can promote your book. But when I started doing it, I did that at the end of the show, but it felt weird every time I did it. So I actually stopped.
Uh-huh.
So if you listen to my earlier shows, you'll hear me at the end talk about this book.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't do it anymore. I can't remember when I stopped, maybe after the 10th show. I don't know. It just felt so weird. And I said, you know, if you feel that weird about something, don't do it.
Right.
So certainly my links will mention, show my book, but for me to just sit there and at the end of a show after I talk to you in depth about your
mm-hmm.
work and your book,
right.
and then, oh, by the way, my book, I
yeah.
just can't do it. So I don't. I've had people who've read my book, who I've interviewed, and they've mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I started doing my show, which is quite fascinating.
That
so
is.
The reason why I started doing it is no longer the reason why I do it.
Well, your book was the hook to get you into your show, then.
Yes.
Like
it, literally, it was the
right.
hook for me
right.
to start
yeah.
doing it. Isn't that funny?
That is, yeah. I wanted to tell you, we do have Stephanie Marone, who you know, has another work coming out on optimism. and it's another compilation work like The Goddess Shift was.
Oh, wow.
And some of the co-authors are Jimmy Carter, Warren Buffett, Steve Jobs, or Jobs, I guess, Meryl Streep, Michelle Obama. I wrote a chapter in it.
And oh, good.
Queen Noor, Prince Charles. So it should be a very interesting book. I can give you a call when it's out.
Yeah, let me know when it's out.
Or I'm sure Stephanie will, too, because she knows about your show.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. Optimism, I love that.
Yeah, you could have a couple of people on, you know,
like you.
Very interesting. Yeah, like me. But you know, you've got some very interesting people to choose from.
Well, you're interesting. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I love your work. Are you kidding me? What?
The self-help gurus are in there too. You know,
no, I love your work. I think you're
awesome. Thank you.
You know, I love your work.
It's really fun to look at these compilation works. I'm fascinated with the idea of synthesizing many different opinions about one topic from many different viewpoints, because I have a feeling that that's a unique way of looking at the world. I first started doing that with Temple of Health Radio Show. I was interviewing all the experts in the world on holistic and alternative cancer, and you know, when you synthesize the body of knowledge that's known, things come out of that you don't see if you just are in your own little world.
Right.
Wisdom comes out of it, I think.
Right. Exactly.
Does.
It's kind of like what I get from doing my show.
Right.
And also what you get probably from doing your show as well, not only the reading, but think about how much you've grown just from doing your show.
Oh, absolutely. And spirituality, you know this, Andrea, but spirituality, if you're in the same place a year from now that you're in now, you just haven't done any work, you know?
Right.
Spirituality
right.
is a constant expanding of your horizons and really dropping belief systems, you know, believing
right.
that if you lose something in one place, you can't find it in another, you know? It's really interesting, the things that I've come to realize aren't true, you know, because I have the evidence in my life they're not true. But that's really, we're not limited beings at all. We think we're
right.
limited, and of course our thinking limits us. But once you drop those limiting beliefs, which are mostly fear-based if you analyze them,
right.
then we're capable of incredible things.
Right, we're capable of doing anything. It's
that's
unlimited right. possibilities, really.
That's right.
When you think about it. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you know, go ahead.
In preparing for this interview, I actually was guided to go to the computer and look for a book that I had interviewed probably 10 years ago, I would think. Interviewed a psychologist who hypnotized 1,000 people and brought them not to a past life, but to the life in spirit right before they came into this life. And you know what he found?
What did he find?
All the stories were identical.
Wow. What
yeah.
were some of the stories?
Well, the stories have to do with a life review that we go through. And it's not a judgment day like some, you know, Southern Baptist Christians have said. It's not like that. It's not a judgment day with God judging you. But he goes into a great deal of detail in the book. And remember, it's 10 years ago. I'm remembering it, but it's a loving review where you get to determine what would have happened had you made different decisions. Like, say there's somebody that you almost married but you didn't. You would
right.
get to see what your life would have looked like on that path. And I think that we come in with soul contracts and agreements and things that we may not remember we have. And
right.
I think there's a review of how well you did on your contracts and agreements.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, but it's a very loving thing, and it's not it's meant to help you learn from your mistakes and then also learn from what you did right.
Yeah. Well, you see, now I think that's a whole interesting topic, mistakes. I question whether we really make mistakes. I mean, on a level we make mistakes, but then on a higher level, spiritually, I wonder if we do. Because
I don't think we do.
When I look back at my life here, here and now, where I'm at this particular moment is the sum of, so-called good, so-called bad, so-called positive, so-called negative, you know, the so-called mistakes and the triumphs. That is the sum of my life at this very moment. I am who I am, where I am, because of everything.
Right.
So that when you're going through an experience that's very difficult, you know, at that moment you're like, oh, why me, God? Why is this happening to me? Why do I have to go through this? When you get through it, I mean, the person that you are because of it, is you're amazing because of that experience, how you were able to get through it. And when you look at your life and what you've been able to get through, when you look back, it's amazing.
I think the whole thing is to teach us to use this inner guidance that we have. And,
right.
The Course in Miracles says that the curriculum is the same for all of us. In other words, what the, you know, the classes and the grades we go through is the same. The time you take to do the curricula is up to you. In other words, you can come and just kind of not do anything you were supposed to do in the lifetime and not decide not to go to school, you know, decide not to get married and have a family if that's what you were supposed to do, decide not to do anything, and so you waste time. But that doesn't mean that you don't eventually have to do the curricula. And the only mistake is not learning from your mistakes. In other words, when you make a mistake, if you learn from it, then it was valuable.
Right.
If you don't learn from it and make it 18 times, well, you've wasted time, haven't you? But since we're eternal beings, and that's what we're going to talk about with your book, The Crossing Over of Maddie Pearl, we're eternal beings, so there really is no time frame in which we have to learn.
Right. Yeah, there's plenty of time. There is no hurry.
There is no hurry. That's right.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite songs, if you want to hear a great song, maybe you've heard it. There's a song by Shirley Horn, who's moved on. As a friend of mine says, she's gone on to glory.
There you
but
go.
Shirley Horn has this tune, and I almost consider it like a theme for me. It's called Here's to Life. And the lyrics go something like, no complaints and no regrets. I still believe in chasing dreams and placing debts.
Yeah.
And what does it say? Something like, all you give is all you get, so give it all you've got. Here's to life. Well, she does a wonderful job of singing it, but I love the words because you know, we run into people, and sometimes, and they'll feel like their life is over, and they just can't do. And I wish I had done this, or I wish I knew then what I know now. But you know now, and your life is not over.
Right.
So you can reinvent yourself. You can do different things. There's nothing to say that you can't go out and do something that you wanted to do when you were, you know, years ago. There's not, you know, if you've always wanted to paint and you never had the chance to do it because you were too busy working and doing other things, you can decide today, I want to paint, and you can paint, you know. And I think that's an important thing to remember, that it's never really too late to learn, to grow, to evolve, to do something else, that we block ourselves. A lot of times we're afraid. We're afraid of failure.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, but, yeah.
When looking online for this book that I was telling you about, I didn't find it, but I found another book, and this might be the same author. And let's see, I think it's Mike Henson, but I could be wrong about that. But anyway, the name of the book is Life Between Lives.
Ah.
And it's about hypnotizing people and finding out what they say in between life is, which I thought was a brilliant way to look at it.
Yeah.
And your book is about the crossing over, which is another time frame. What happens if we don't die suddenly in an accident or war, you know, something very sudden? We do go through stages. We go through...
But you know what? I believe that even people who suddenly die have periods before.
Well, they may.
I think they have those periods before. They may not talk about them. But I think most people have an inkling when their time is up. But I also hear, and I also think that they have a choice as to when they go. For example, my mom, when she left, if she knew that her sister was going to make it, if someone had told her, you know, your sister can't come today, but she can be here next Wednesday, I think my mom would have lasted another week.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can go. I don't know how far they can go. I'm not sure they can go years after their death date, but they probably
well, remember
can
Karen,
go
what's
weeks.
Her name? Karen Ann Quinlan?
Uh-huh.
I don't know how long she lived after they pulled everything. She lived for a while, didn't she? It was kind of unusual.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how they consider, I guess they considered her, you're the doctor, they considered her clinically dead, but they took her off, I don't remember the details, that would be an interesting thing to look up, but she lived longer once they removed everything and they were surprised.
Yeah, but, you know, still, you'd have to inquire about when her death date was. Karen obviously came in to show the world something about how we handle things, because her case was such high profile. And so I suspect that she lived the length of time she was supposed to in order to get that message out to the world.
Right.
So I think
that's also partly
there.
Her choice, too, I believe.
I think she had a contract to do that.
Right.
I mean, you know, contracts come in all sorts of forms. I mean, there are angelic beings that come in and die of leukemia within 2 years. They're very angelic beings, and they're here to teach the parents and other people that touch their lives whatever lesson of love that they bring in.
Right.
So, you know, just because you don't live very long doesn't mean very much, since we're all eternal, you know. That's
right.
Really what you have to understand, that it's not, you're only getting a little glimpse of what happens here. But
exactly.
Here isn't the only place. You know, the Bible says my father's house has many mansions or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. Many mansions.
Right. So don't think that this is it. This is one place in one dimension. And there's many dimensions. I mean, heaven is a different dimension. So heaven is very extensive. Don't believe that heaven is just small like Earth. It isn't.
It's unlimited.
You know, you have to understand that what you see here is not all that is. And that's why when things happen here that aren't understandable, you know, why somebody's standing on a street corner and gets hit with a stray bullet from a robbery and dies instantly, you don't know that that's not in divine order, because you don't know that they have something else, you know, somewhere else to be in another dimension that is important. I know when my father was dying of cancer, I knew when his death date was because I was told, so I went up there during his death date, but he didn't die, and I was sitting there talking to him, and it was really interesting. He wasn't in a lot of pain, but he was kind of nauseated, and his days weren't very happy days. You know, they were kind of just being here, and I said, Dad, I said, I hear you have really important work to do on the other side, and I think you probably ought to go ahead and do it. This is a few days after his death date, and he looks at me. Dad had spiritual hearing. He says, you know, I think you're right. So, anyway, I came back here, and a friend of mine and I were talking. We realized that Dad had not died because of my mother's connection to him, which was quite, you know, she really had her, you know, her energy in him and was holding him here. And so we did a spiritual exercise whereby we separated her from him, And then the next morning he got up and took a shower. That was 11 at night. The next morning he got up and took a shower. Then he went back to bed, went into a coma. And I was in surgery that day. And he came to me in surgery. And I said, Dad, don't die with Mom alone in the house. My brother Charles is coming. You know, he'll be there by this evening. Just wait. You know, don't die
right.
with her alone. I didn't think she could handle it. And Charles showed up about 8, and then he was there, and Dad died at 3 in the morning. And my mom was going around, I can't believe he died so quickly, you know.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, I told her the story. I did.
Uh-huh.
I told her the story.
Yeah.
I said, Mom, you can't hold people here after their death date. It's not right. It's not okay to do that. You know, that's a selfish thing. They have a death date. They have a date that they, you know, have agreed to cross over. And he had a lot of work to do on the other side. And sure
right.
enough, a few months later, I found out he was working on family karma with lung cancer, which was interesting. So many of my relatives had died of lung cancer, and I had smoked 20 years. So I said, well, that's good. And then later on, I was at my office, and I was putting a magazine back late at night, and I tripped over a wire the maintenance guy had put up right, I mean, where it shouldn't be, and I broke my arm, and I was off for 4 months, and I was interviewing Colette Baron-Reed, who's the travels with Sylvia Brown, and she said, oh, yeah, you were going to get lung cancer, so you broke your arm.
Oh, great.
So there was my father. There was my father arranging for me to have my accident. So, you see, his important work had to do with me.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's funny. On one hand, when I hear these stories, it's like, oh, that's just life. But it's still amazing to hear them, if you know what I mean. They're special. It's special that that you pay attention. And I think even in the case of my mom, the important thing, I think, if you don't get anything else from this other than that the journey does continue, is that how important it is to pay attention.
Oh,
because some people think, oh, no, that doesn't really happen. Or they'll say, oh, your mom was talking out of her head. She must have been drugged.
Mm-hmm.
But no. First of all, her meds were reduced. And
right.
every time we wanted to give her pain meds, she said, nah, I don't need them.
Right.
So I really think it was the love that made her strong, so she couldn't even feel any pain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she had a huge tumor growing, so you would think that she was in a lot of discomfort. But I think spiritually there was so much going on that she was protected from any physical pain, really.
Oh, I believe that. I have seen that so often. And because we treat cancer at the clinic, and cancer pain is very variable, very variable. And the people who are spiritually protected have very little pain.
Right.
It's very interesting, but it's,
yeah,
it's almost
fascinating.
Always true.
Yeah.
And then we have healers that do healing, and then the pain goes away. Cancer
right.
pain is very amenable to healing.
Right. Yeah, I always tell people, don't underestimate the power of, you know, spiritual healing and, you know, for the
There's
removal
studies
of pain.
Done on that.
Yeah.
There's studies done showing that healing is one of the best ways to alleviate cancer pain.
Right.
And I think it's got
right.
to do with the pain comes from the lymphatics not working. And when you do a healing on a tumor, within a half an hour, the tumor shrunk. And I don't think the tumor is shrinking so much, except it's not swollen. And then when it shrinks, it quits causing pressure on those nerve-sensitive structures, like periosteum, if the tumor's inside bone.
Right.
Or, you know, along nerves, if the tumor is pressing on nerves. So, I mean, I kind of understand exactly how it happens, too. But it does. Tumors can shrink up to one-third right away.
Well, my mom's tumor was about the size of a grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
When the doctor gave us, what did he say, I think 4 to 6 months or whatever, or 3 to... And I knew, when he told me that, I just knew. I said, my mom, I said to myself, she won't last 6 weeks. I just knew it. And
so what kind of cancer did she have?
She had a very rare cancer called leiomyosarcoma.
That is rare.
And,
I've operated on that a couple of times, but not often.
Not, yeah, it's very rare, and at the time that she had it, I think I was told there may have been like 47 cases, and I don't know if that was in the U.S. or in the world. I'm not sure. I don't know which sounds right.
We had a
right
couple
there.
In the military, and usually after trauma.
Yeah, I did some reading on it. At that time, they had a list of things they thought that might cause it. They thought excessive radiation, excuse me, might be one of the causes. They weren't sure at that, and I haven't done any research on it since then. It's very rare, though.
It is. And
my mom worked in the operating room, and I remember when I was little, she came home and she would say she had been zapped. Oh, I was zapped with that radiation again.
Yeah.
And at that time, the medical personnel, they weren't as careful.
No, they
weren't. Protecting themselves from radiation. Yeah. And so my mom,
fluoroscopy. Fluoroscopy was used in the OR all the time. I used to put in guide wires into the heart, you know, when we were doing pacemakers. And we would
right.
get zapped. I mean,
right.
You could feel your energy go down.
Yep. And I
mean, you can only, you know, wear the suits, but that doesn't protect your other areas. Where was her tumor?
It was in her uterus.
Okay.
My mom was extremely healthy, except for that rare cancer. And I really believed, when I saw that, I remembered her being zapped. I remember at least 5 times. And that doesn't mean that she mentioned it every time it happened.
Right.
But I can recall 5 times at least she came home and said I was zapped again with that radiation.
Right.
So I, when I read that, I believed that that's how, excuse me. Well, I mean, it's always spiritual, too. I mean, you know.
Well,
but
radiation alone can cause cancer. I mean, look at Madame Curie, you know. She got...
Right.
She got radiated in her job, and she got cancer, and I don't know that there was a spiritual cause to that so much as just, you know, they didn't know. They didn't know
right.
how to protect themselves.
But, yeah, she definitely was hit by the, and, you know, that's intense radiation there.
Yeah, it is.
When you have no, and this was, you know, a while back, so.
Right, right.
But now, you know, everyone's wiser, and they have protective measures, but at that time they did not.
So now
so,
we have
yeah.
to go through those total body scanners, which I would recommend
know.
You go ahead and get searched instead, by the way. I did a bunch of research on that for my
Oh, you think it's
convention.
Better for people to get searched?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially
so you would, and so do they take you, they're not in all the airports, fortunately, not yet.
No, but if they are there, you have a choice. You can go through the total body radiation. Of course, if they find anything, you know, like Jesse Ventura had his hip thing, his hip replacement, so even though he'd go through the total body scanner, they'd search him anyway. So he figured out real soon not to go through it. But I really don't think people should go through the scanner, you know. I think you need to
well, there's certain
ask
places,
for a body
like
search.
In the U.K., do you have a choice?
I don't know. I haven't traveled.
Well,
you
they
can
have
always
the...
say you have an immune, you know, you have a concern about your immune system, which we actually all should have, living this world, eating genetically modified foods, being exposed to nanotechnology and chemtrails. We all ought to be concerned about our immune system. So, I mean, you're not lying. And say, I have a concern about my immune system. Would you mind just doing a body search? That's what I'm doing.
Is that what you do?
Well, I haven't done it yet, but that's what I would do because I believe the radiation, especially if you travel frequently, is not good for you. And there are other doctors who have written the president with their concerns. You can look them up. The doctors at, let's see, University of California at I think it's either San Francisco or it's one of them. A group of doctors got together and expressed their concern.
Yeah, I'm concerned about it.
And they made very good points in there. You can probably Google it and read their whole thing, letter to President Obama. And they ended up by saying, you know, given all these considerations, the you know the saving of a few lives because of a potential terrorist attack doesn't balance with all the harm you're doing.
Right. Yeah.
To so many
people. I think I have a friend who travels maybe 75% of the time. And just think about him, boy. Oh.
Yeah. Well, think about
his, and he's been doing it for years.
Well, think about all the people that work on the airplane, the pilots and the flight.
Right.
I mean, you've got to understand that radiation is damaging to DNA, especially when it's total body. But in any case, why don't we go back and why don't you tell a little bit about your grandfather? Because you start out the book talking about him. And that
I
is
know.
A very, very interesting idea of being spiritually evolved enough to know when you are supposed to go cross over and prepare to do so with such grace.
I know, it's amazing. Well, you know, it's funny, when I never, as a little child, never believed in death for some reason. You know, I would hear about relatives passing away, and I don't know, I just never felt that they were gone. I never accepted death as the finale.
Final,
yeah.
I didn't either, because I could always see and talk to them, so I knew they weren't gone.
Right. Yeah, I figured, never. So one day my mom told me about my grandfather, the mm-hmm. story of how he sat them down at the table and said, you know, he had seen his mother and father on the other side, and that he had a higher calling, another mission, that he had work to do, but it wouldn't be here, that it would be over there with his mother and father. Now, he was 27 years old, and the youngest baby was about 6 months, my uncle.
How many kids were there?
Five.
That's hard to believe, isn't it? What an act of faith, my goodness.
Yeah, he sat there and told, my mom was about seven, told my, and her sister, who's older, was about eight. Yeah, so they went from eight on down to about 6 months old. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he sat and just told them right at the table, you know, that, you know, kind of like regular conversation. Saw my mom and dad, and they need me to join them. You know, we have work to do, and they need me to join with them to do it. And he said, you know, he really didn't want to go, but, you know, he had to fulfill his mission, basically, is what he
said. Not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm. I have to go, and I have
right.
to do this. And then for 1 month after he did that, every day he was preparing for his departure.
Mm-hmm.
Chopping wood for the
right.
fireplace, and I mean, really working like a like a mad person trying
right.
to prepare, because
right.
my grandmother had all these young children, and he was very concerned about them, you know, being okay, and that's what he did. And 1 month later, from the time he sat them down,
mm-hmm.
he left
mm-hmm.
exactly like he had said he would. I
How
mean, he didn't.
Die?
He actually ended up with a cerebral hemorrhage.
That's so interesting, because I suspected that cerebral hemorrhages in younger people are not, like, just accidental at all.
No, this wasn't accidental, though. This gets into a much deeper story, because we're talking 1942 in North Carolina.
Right.
So, actually, the cerebral hemorrhage was a result of being beaten, actually.
Oh, really?
I don't go into all of that in the book. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Because it's a different book. But since the book, I've written a stage play and a screenplay, actually. And I go into a little bit. I don't really go into much detail with the stage play. The stage play pretty much follows the book. But the screenplay actually gets into the a little more history, a little more backdrop, because this was North Carolina, 1942. But, yeah, so it's a very interesting story indeed. It has a lot of different dimensions. But he was very spiritual, and people were shocked because a month, they couldn't believe that he had said he was going, and then
yeah.
he did. 1 month later, suddenly.
Well,
yeah.
perhaps his death, though, had a much deeper meaning in the scheme of things, too.
Yeah, it did. It had a much deeper meaning, and I remember my mom telling that story, and I remember being very excited about it because I always loved looking at his pictures because he was extremely handsome with the most beautiful eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the soul comes through the eyes, as you know.
Yeah, I mean, beautiful eyes, mm-hmm. and I was like so excited because I was like, oh, I'm going to get to see my grandfather, and then I'm going to get to meet, you know, mm-hmm. his mom, and his dad, and that's how I viewed it. So
right.
I grew up, that story my mom told me just reinforced what I felt already.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, I
and
never...
And what about the idea we have work to do on the other side? You know, some people think you sit around and play harps and you know, sit on clouds in heaven. That just ain't true. There's work to do on the other side. Like
right, yeah, he specifically
you know?
Said he had work to do.
Yeah,
so,
and I heard that my dad had work to do, and he heard the same thing.
Right, so...
It's where
I'm
you're
not,
needed the most.
Right, wherever you're needed the most is where
mm-hmm.
you have to be.
Right.
And, you know, it's like you're not leaving here until your work here is done, and then you're
exactly.
needed
yeah.
someplace else. Which is really fascinating when you
it
think
is.
About it. It would be neat to know what kind of work he's doing. I always felt, though, that my grandfather was very much connected to me growing
I
up.
Think, I,
always,
I think that's true.
I felt think
that
he was...
He guided you, or is
right.
guiding you.
Right. So I felt that he was around me as I was growing up, and
yeah.
and that he's around me now, and... So I think a lot of his work on the other side also had something to do with his work on this side as well. And he had to... Yes?
And I wanted to emphasize that when we pray for spiritual protection,
right.
it's actually spirits that protect us. People
right.
don't get that.
Right.
When you pray for spiritual protection, you are assigned extra guardian angels, extra spirits, extra... You know, relatives, my grandmother, my father's mother, always was with me. And, you know, that people have to understand your spiritual protection comes through spirits. Like
right.
we have a motion detector at the center, you know, the surgery center.
Right.
And it'll go off for no reason, right? Well, there is a reason. It goes off when somebody's thinking about stealing something before they ever get there.
Right.
You know? It's a
That's
spirit
a good
makes
example.
It go off, and then the police come, and they, you know, like...
right, exactly.
Everybody's notified, and they can't break into it, because we have spiritual protection at the center.
Right.
Mediated by spirits. Okay.
Right.
and people have seen the spirits at the center. I mean, you know, sometimes they appear there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, there is another dimension out there that, and this is, brings us back to your book... Your mother actually saw into this world. That's what
right.
she was seeing into.
Well, my mom also was very, 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 very spiritual. And she would have prophetic dreams. You know,
mm-hmm.
growing up, she would talk about her dreams. And
right.
Extremely sensitive, and she could just pick up things. You know, this was just normal for me growing
mm.
up. I didn't think anything of any... I didn't think it was odd. I just thought this is just the way things are.
Right.
And so it wasn't something that I had to adjust to, or... I just felt that way. I just grew
mm-hmm.
up thinking there's more. There's always more. And that this is not all there is. And I've always believed it. I still do, and I'll always believe it. I just know it. I just know that there's more. I couldn't really describe it to you. It's just an
mm-hmm.
inner knowing.
Well, that's your inner guidance. There's a saying that says, to those who believe, no proof is necessary. And to those
right.
who don't, no proof is possible. And I always remember that when I'm talking with people who are, you know, agnostics or atheists. And I used to be an agnostic before I had a 7-foot guardian angel appear in my room right before me. And then, you know, you just can't be agnostic after that. It's not possible.
Well, you know, it's there's nothing wrong. You know, there are people, and I don't want to be judgmental because, you know, you are even admitting you were agnostic at one
point. I was.
So, I mean, people go through whatever periods they go through for their own growth,
right,
whether they
exactly.
believe or not, and it's okay to go through whatever it is you need to go through. But, yeah, for me, I never had to have that actual proof, never.
Mm-hmm.
I just always believed. It's,
right.
it's just an inner knowing. Sometimes I think it even goes beyond faith. I don't, it's just so deep in.
I think what you have is genetic as well. I think there's a genetic component. We get it. Like I got it from my father, and I had other relatives in the bloodline that had the gift of clairvoyance and the gift of prophecy.
Right.
I think there is a genetic component, and that, like, your mother anchored you in here, my father anchored me in.
Right.
We actually come to be supported by people of like, I don't know what you would call it, like energy, if spiritual energy.
Right.
And the people that don't have that, the people that are born into families where they're the black sheep and everybody else is third dimensional and they're the only ones that see beyond this dimension, can feel very, very isolated.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's a blessing that we
it was
anchored
beautiful.
In by our relatives that were so, you know, similar to who we are.
Yeah, it was. It was a beautiful, you know, knowing that he's my grandfather. I found that exciting. Wow,
that's great. Yeah.
You know, that he was able to communicate with his mom and dad before he left, you know, and get a glimpse of, I was like, mm-hmm. wow, how, you know, that's wonderful to have that experience. And then, with having that experience with my mom,
mm-hmm.
well, the book is based on the last 4 weeks that I spent with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so amazing, and it was amazing, I guess, because I was just so open to it,
mm-hmm.
open to whatever she wanted to share. I wasn't afraid of anything she had to say. Anytime she'd start mumbling something, I'd listen very closely to
mm-hmm.
hear what it was. She knew that I was open. She knew that it didn't bother me,
mm-hmm.
and so she continued to talk.
Right.
It's important for people to know that my mom, at that point, people are so sensitive. Even though it may seem like they're incoherent, they're really quite with it. And they're very much aware of the presence of their loved ones and whether
mm-hmm.
their loved ones are afraid. And they're
mm-hmm.
more concerned about you than they are about themselves. Because they've seen the light.
Yeah, that's true.
Or they've seen the glory.
Yeah.
And so, but they're more worried about you.
Well, that's true. My mother kept apologizing to us when she was dying, and I knew her. I knew when her death date was because I was told, and I didn't like when it was because it was too far out. I figured she was suffering way too much, so I prayed and asked that, you know, it be changed sooner, and it was. It was changed. In fact, she died 1 year ago on Labor Day. But her death date, and that was on a Monday, I think, her death date wasn't supposed to be till Thursday, and it was a real blessing that she was able to go out 3 days early, because I just didn't want to see her suffer another 3 days. I just didn't want to,
right.
you know, it was like, my brother and I were there, but, you know, it was very, very hard to see someone you love suffer.
Yeah, it is hard.
And,
it's hard
so she was taken
that.
Out early, and, I was told later that my prayers or my requests were honored and carried out by my father. You know, that was he arranged for her to go 3 days early.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can pray, and if it is in divine order, if it is okay, your prayers are answered. I mean, not
right.
always, obviously. Sometimes when you pray, you don't get your prayers because they're not what's best for everyone. But this case it was. But, you know, my father often still appears, not in the physical, it's in the mind's eye, and tells me things, especially when I'm in trouble with my health. When I've overdone it, he will appear and tell me that I'm, you know, he's still around. And Mom's still in life review. I'm pretty sure she's still in life review. I haven't seen her in a while. Usually don't see them when they're in life review. So, read about life review. You can interview this psychologist who hypnotized everybody.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting.
Wouldn't that
what
be good? Was,
what, yeah, I just did.
Life
maybe you can email
between
me.
Between lives. Life between it, lives.
Oh, yeah, that is.
It's on the
Amazon. Yeah, I know you have some fascinating shows.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you know, this is information. Just like, I mean, you got to look at all information. But I actually believe in hypnosis because I've worked with, you know, law enforcement agencies that use hypnosis and a lot of my friends are psychologists that are highly trained in hypnosis, and I've even had advanced training in hypnosis. They hypnotized me one time, and I started speaking French, and I don't know French. But in the previous life, I was French, so I was speaking fluent French in front of about, I think, 50 clinical hypnotists at a meeting.
Wow.
So I don't remember it, but, you know, they told me I was speaking fluent French
amazing?
When
they
took me into
that.
A past life. So, you know, I mean, I believe in hypnotism. It's as far as I can see, scientifically valid. But well, we're coming up on the last few minutes. Can you tell the listeners where they can get your book?
Oh, my book, The Crossing Over of Mattie Pearl, is available on Amazon.com. So please go to Amazon.com if you're interested in reading the story of The Crossing Over of Mattie Pearl. And also my shows.
Yeah.
Online with Andrea. I have many of them, many archives.
Yeah.
And I have, and you, in fact, I think we have two shows.
We do two shows
in the archive. So you can go listen to my archives with, I think I have about 300 in there. I don't even know. I'm so busy doing them, I'm clueless. But if you Google, Online with Andrea, onlinewithandrea.com, and click on the orange RSS feed and scroll down.
Right, all the way.
Yeah, and
yeah, well,
yeah,
you got a shift, and then
and you can check out my you can Google Online with Andrea / Goddess Shift,
mm-hmm.
and listen
yeah.
to that interview. That was fantastic, wasn't
that
it?
That was good. Yeah,
we had a good time.
We did.
Yeah. Yeah, The Goddess Shift, that was a great, great show. I enjoyed that. That's how we met.
That's right. And
yeah,
Stephanie's got another
met.
Book coming out on optimism, so you can do it all again.
Yeah, and have you back.
Prince Charles, so, maybe, you know?
Because I
look
love
at the authors
you.
And see who you want to meet online.
Yeah, we'll have you and Prince Charles.
There you go.
That would be great.
But
I love that. That's such a great idea, don't you think, to hear... And I bet there's a common thread. There's always that common thread, you know, to have all these different people from different walks of life talk about one subject. I think,
and I love the idea of talking about optimism, always,
right.
you know, approaching life and what it throws at you with love rather than fear. That's what optimism is.
With love and with hope.
Right.
You know, it's about life. It's never about death and dying. You know, this whole thing about crossing over and it's
yeah, death isn't
about,
real. I mean, death
yeah,
is
not
real. Death is unreal.
Right.
You don't need to fear it.
Yeah, it's not about death and dying. It's about
life
and living. Yes,
yeah.
Embracing life
and responsibility.
To the fullest.
I mean,
and
responsibility.
Love.
I mean, you know, you go where you're needed because that's the greater good for all.
Right, and there's always hope, and so you never give up. You
right.
know,
right.
I mean, we are definitely. It's. You know, it's just unlimited
right.
in terms of where you can go and what you can be. And we're always evolving, and the journey does continue.
It does. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We've been talking with Andrea Garrison, The Crossing Over of Mattie Pearl. You can get her book on Amazon. And then her radio show, Online with Andrea, you can visit that. She has archive shows just like we do in Temple of Health. We've I should check out your show so I know who to interview, and you should check out my show so you know who to interview in the future.
Or I'll call you and say, give me a suggestion.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, it's wonderful to speak with you again. It's a lot of fun. And
I look forward to talking to you about optimism.
Right. We got to do that optimism book. That'll be great. Well, next week we have Richard Presser, who is going to be talking about the 2012 countdown. And then after that, on the 17th, Dr. Joseph Boslajak is talking surviving cancer, the use of complementary and alternative methods in the treatment of breast cancer. And then on the 24th of September, we have Maria Jones back talking about the Trinity Secret, the power of three and the code of creation. We have Noetic Science on Thursday, September 15th at the Georgetown Square Dunwoody office. John Mullen will be discussing the face and its ancient secrets. John is a healer and medical intuitive. He brings great wisdom to understanding a lot of what we're going through, including the face, which is a plastic surgeon I'm very, very interested in hearing. Anyway, thanks a lot, Andrea. We appreciate you joining us, and invite everybody to be with us next week.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Take care.